We're thankful we can come together this morning. We're blessed to have Joy and Grace and Hazel and Holly with us. Grace and Holly are somewhere. So we're blessed to have them with us this morning.
Brother Jack will have our class prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Bill.
Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking your blessing on our study. As we open your word and we look into it, as we see what is recorded and apply it to our lives, help us, Heavenly Father, to put the words that song in our lives, take out that which is lingering, that, Heavenly Father, we can hasten unto you. Father, we ask your blessings, particularly for those that are sick and those that are traveling. Father, be with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We will continue in the study of Luke this morning, and we are down to chapter 23, and we'll begin at verse 50 this morning. Chapter 23, beginning in verse 50. In this 23rd chapter, we have covered the coming together of the council to try Jesus. They send him over to Pilate, who was the governor at that time. Pilate then sends him to Herod, back to Pilate. Pilate tries as best he can not to do anything with Jesus. He says, I find no fault with him. But finally yields to the Jews and releases Jesus then into their to do what they would have to do with him. They take him to Calvary, and there they have him crucified. And while on the cross, then Jesus has the interchange with the two criminals who were there with him. And about the sixth hour of the day, there was darkness over all the earth. There was an earthquake. Graves were open. And then about the third hour of the day, Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathes his last. And that's where we are this morning. The death of Jesus has come to pass on the cross. And the Jews had accomplished what they had been wanting to do for probably 2 years at least or so. And, of course, this was God's plan, that Jesus would come and that he would die for the sins of the world. So we are down to verse 50 of chapter 23. We'll begin there, read through the rest of the chapter. Now, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to the decision and the deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So Jesus has died on the cross. The Jews did not want to leave his body on the cross, since it was the day before the Sabbath, the preparation. They wanted to get Jesus down from the cross and his body taken care of before the Sabbath. There was a man from Arimathea named Joseph, a rich man, wealthy, a member of the Sanhedrin. And He was also waiting for the kingdom of God to come, but did so secretly because of the Jews. Arimathea was a village about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And Joseph had not agreed with the Sanhedrin and the council in what they wanted to do with Jesus to have him put to death. He asked Pilate for the body, took the body down, wrapped it in linen, put it in the tomb, where no body had ever lain before. Hewn out of a rock, and placed it in the tomb. The Sabbath was near. It was the third hour of the day when Jesus died. Sabbath would have begun then at sundown, which was not very long after the third hour. And there were women who had followed Jesus from Galilee who had been with him for quite some time and traveled with him to minister to him and to the other apostles. And they were there at a distance, but they observed what Joseph had done and where they had placed Jesus in the tomb. And they returned to the city then and prepared spices and oils to be used to anoint the body of Jesus. And they rested on the Sabbath to obey the commandment to rest on the Sabbath. John's account records that Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, was there at the same time and brought 100 pounds of spices for the body of Jesus, and that the tomb was in a garden. Matthew's account records the Jewish leaders went to Pilate and said, "We need a guard on the tomb. Jesus has said he's going to rise the third day. We want to make sure that that does not happen." Pilate tells them to use their own guards. They had a temple guard that they could use, so they did. And they also placed rolled a stone over the entrance to the tomb and sealed it. Your comments on these verses?
This would have been a bold thing for Joseph to do. He would have been looked down on probably by the rest of the council. He would have lost any probably power he had in that body. And it's kind of like when you accept the Lord Jesus, your relationship with those around you changes at your workplaces and different things like that. So this would be a step for him who was, I don't know that we were told he was a secret disciple, but I would certainly imagine that he had been. And he was one of the few on that council that recognized that Jesus was a Messiah. So he knew, based on prophecies, that this was Jesus, and he acted on it, and it probably cost him in some ways.
Yes, I would think he might have been ostracized even more, maybe, for doing this and doing it in the open. Could be. Anyone else?
One thing that wasn't mentioned, I think, is found in Mark, where Mark records that when Joseph went for the body of Jesus, that Pilate inquired of the centurion, ensuring that he was dead. That I think, is a very strong proof. I mean, who knows more about death or creating death than a Roman centurion? And the centurion certified that Jesus was dead. There was no swoon. There was no momentary lapse of consciousness. Jesus was dead.
Yeah, and that was something that possibly could have been brought up by those who did not think that Jesus had risen from the dead, that, well, he was not really dead. He was just, he'd passed out, but he really wasn't dead. So resurrection really was not, did not happen, was not true. So, good point. Thank you. Chris?
Something that strikes me is the lengths they went to, like not just rolling the stone in the way of the tomb, but guarding it to make sure Jesus didn't come out. Whether they believed it were a hoax or if they were scared for their souls that they had actually done what they genuinely had done, killed God's own son, the Messiah they claimed to be waiting for. But they still went through it, and in the end, not a single bit of it mattered. Because God will not be stopped, and he will not be trifled with in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. And I think that's something we all need to keep in mind, that we can try and we can think our way into all kinds of problems, thinking we have a good idea of what's going on. We don't. God's in control, and he will put us to foolishness every time.
Yeah. Yeah, God's plan will be accomplished. Yeah, thank you.
One of the things, too, we have, this was an event that was witnessed by several people, the women especially. They witnessed it from start to finish. And so, like you say, there would have been no doubt about what had happened and what would be written about later. We have, God always seems to provide a witnesses to his actions. And so this wasn't something that was done in secret. It was all out in the open for everybody to see what had happened. And so the resurrection will have a lot more meaning because these people knew that he was dead.
And they wanted to get him down from the cross before the Sabbath. Of course, they asked the Romans, I assume, to make sure that he was dead, break his legs, pierce his side. His legs were not broken, but his side was pierced. And so there was no doubt that he was dead. Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Okay, let's go on to chapter 24 then. let's read the first 12 verses here of chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, speaking of the women who were mentioned back in chapter 23, they and certain other women with them, those are going to be named also in these verses, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. All of the gospel writers record the resurrection. As we've looked at various events leading up to this and his teaching and so forth, the gospel writers did not always record all of the events. Some would record this, some another, to get the full picture of what Jesus was doing. But in this case, all of the gospel writers record the resurrection and the things that happened after the resurrection until the time of the ascension. So they all cover this, but in different ways. Luke's account and also some of the others we'll look at briefly. All of them record that the resurrection was on the first day of the week after the Sabbath, which was the seventh day. Very early in the morning, they, referencing the women who had been mentioned in verse 55, chapter 23, and others, which we read in verse 10, were some of the other women. They came to the tomb with the spices that they had prepared to anoint the body of Jesus, to prepare his body. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in to see, but Jesus' body was not there. Of course, they wondered about this because they had seen the body of Jesus placed in this tomb. There were two men there in shining clothes, stood by them. They were afraid and bowed down to them, and the two men replied in verses 5 through 8 of what Jesus had said. Do you remember what Jesus said about this? And yes, they then remembered what Jesus had said, that he would be taken into the hands of sinful men and crucified, but that he would rise on the third day. And then they remembered what Jesus had said. So the women that were there and observed this, they went to tell the others about this. And they thought, well, you just don't know what you're talking about. This can't be so. But these were the men who had been with Jesus, the 11, and had heard many times what Jesus had said about this, but they still were not believing. Matthew and Mark both record that the angel told the women what to tell the disciples. So the two men, angels that were there, and that he was going into Galilee where he would see them again. He had previously told them that he would return to Galilee. So John's account also records that John was also with Peter when he ran to the tomb, and when he went into the tomb, Peter into the tomb, and then John later. John and Mark also record the encounter of Mary Magdalene with Jesus near the tomb. So we look at these other accounts and we get a full picture of what happened here on the first day of the week after the resurrection. So what are your comments on these verses 1 through 12? I'm sure there are things that you can give us that will kind of broaden this out as well.
I think one of the things that I see in this is the faith of these women as they went to the tomb. They would have been unclean under Jewish law, and that didn't deter them. And they wanted to see that their Lord and Savior had all the last rites done. They were the first ones to witness that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So we have the account of the stone being rolled away and all that, and which would have some of the other places they indicated it was such a stone that they couldn't have rolled it away. But we have them being the first to witness this and to witness the what we would call the two angels there that spoke with them. So it is corroborated all the way through by people and actually named that actually witnessed all this.
Yeah, very good. Matthew's account says there was a great earthquake and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away. It was an angel that rolled the stone away. The guards were very afraid then, the ones that had been there, because they knew they were in trouble if they had not guarded the tomb the way they should. The angel talks to the women and said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And he is not here. He is risen. Go tell the other disciples." Jesus appears to them. Matthew says that Jesus appears to them and they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jack.
I guess I'd always assumed that it was Pilate, the one who sealed the tomb. But from reading the account, he told the Jews to seal it and make it as fast as they could. That just kind of gives a different slant on some things that I thought before.
Yeah, they had heard Jesus teach on this or say it, that he was going to rise on the third day. So they just wanted to make sure. They didn't believe it, but they said, "Well, we'll make sure. He's not getting out. But a big stone there, and we're going to seal it." I don't know how they sealed it, but they sealed it in some way.
As you point out, I can recall several instances in all the Gospels where Jesus said to the disciples and to other people multiple times that I'm going to be beaten, scourged, and basically be taken away, die, and come back the third day. And so many times it said they didn't understand, they couldn't understand. But this time, when they heard those words from the angel, they realized they fully understood what he was saying, that it was coming true. And it was, I find that actually fits perfectly with what we've been hearing, is that they closed their minds because it wasn't what they wanted to hear, is when you could see it. They didn't want to believe who would put Jesus to death when he's proven over and over again he is God's son.
Yeah.
But then when they realized exactly what he said would come to pass, I think it just left them stunned. And it's amazing and how perfectly it fits together.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
I've often wondered how the women who came to dress the body thought they would get to the body. That always kind of puzzled me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think maybe they didn't think about that. and they became the first witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Sherry.
Mark 16:1-16:2. Very early on the first day of the week after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll a stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone was very large and had been rolled away.
Mm-hmm.
So, they thought about it.
It did cross their mind. It did cross their mind, but they probably thought, "We'll figure it out. We'll get it done, what we're going to do." So,
well, I don't think they went to the burial. So they probably went back to their homes, waited. So this was something to just go see where he was. And hopefully, I don't know that they would expect the stone to be rolled away or anybody to roll it away. I don't know that in those days stones were rolled away after somebody was buried. I mean, why would you? But so this was their first encounter, and they just had to be as close as they could. But they had not been there before this.
Yeah, they had something they wanted to do, and that was to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. And I guess they had faith that they were going to be able to do this somehow, that they were going to be able to get into the tomb, prepare the body of Jesus with the spices and oils. And
I think this was all God's plan, that this happened. Because I don't know that, like you say, they thought that they would be able to get in the tomb. It's one way to know. But I think it was God had all this worked out.
Sure.
To work out this way.
Yeah.
God rolled that stone away. He didn't plan all of it.
Sent an angel to do it. So. Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Let's consider then verses 13 through 27. 13 through 27. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And then one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. They did not find his body. They came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Luke here records for us the encounter with the two disciples who were traveling on the road to Emmaus. Had been in Jerusalem, had seen these things, had heard the report that Jesus had risen. It's also mentioned over in Mark's account in chapter 16. As they went along, the two disciples were discussing, you know, these things that had happened, and a question, I guess, in their mind, you know, what these things meant. And They had heard that Jesus would rise on the third day, but they had also heard that they hadn't been able to find the body of Jesus. So, and as they were traveling along, Jesus joined with them on their trip as they walked along and asked what they were talking about. And one of them was surprised at the question. You must be the only one in Judah who's not heard of what happened in these last couple of days. And they replied to him, this Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in deed and word, miracles performed, teaching, great teaching, and had done this before God and all the people. This was not done in secret. Our chief priests and our rulers have heard this, but they have decided that he needs to be put to death, that he is a heretic, going against the law, going against everything that they held dear to themselves. And so they delivered him up to be crucified. We, two disciples, we were hoping that he would redeem Israel. But now it's the third day, and we've received reports from some of the women that his body was not in the tomb. And the angels had reported to them that he is alive. He has risen from the dead. Jesus, then hearing what they were saying, he somewhat chastised them, I guess you might say, for not believing the things that they had been taught, had heard, and all the prophets have spoken. You know, you should know, all of the prophets and what they have said about this. And so Jesus then begins at Moses and all of the other prophets and explain to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Would you like to have been in the presence of those two disciples when Jesus was doing this? That would have been something to hear. We'll have more to say about Moses and the prophets a little bit later on down in this chapter, but about what some of those Jesus might have mentioned about himself at that time. Okay, your comments on 13 through 27, if you would.
I think we have to put ourselves in the place of these two men. I think they were in some sort of a shock. And I think it's kind of cool that they had gone to the tomb and they had seen nothing there, empty tomb. Which tells me that a lot of people did do that, not just the women and some of the apostles. So I think that's very inspiring that they were following through and they had witnessed him on the cross, his dying, and it was just gruesome. So that was one thing. The other thing I wondered, Jesus didn't change his appearance, I don't think. He probably looked the same as they saw him when he was alive previously. But they were just, their eyes seemed to be closed to it. But it's a great story.
Yeah.
I've often wondered why that he picked these two men to go and talk with. And the town even that is mentioned, why these two men? And you know, maybe they were the first after the women and all those in there at the principal account. But if we look at, they still looked at him as a prophet, and they still looked at him as the Redeemer of Israel. In other words, he was going to overthrow the Roman government and establish the nation again as a power.
But there were probably people in that village that were not at the scene or at the gathering there. And so they would be eyewitnesses of what had happened. And this is one of the beginnings of the spreading of Jesus was actually resurrected. He actually was dead and was resurrected. And they would hear it from the mouth of these two men who had also been with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, they go back to the apostles, the other disciples, and report what they have encountered on the road. They would have been witnesses for sure to Jesus is resurrected. He walked with us on the road. He taught us again of the things that we need to remember. And he is alive. So we're going to report all this back to the apostles and disciples after they do this.
Not to get ahead of the story, but even so, they didn't recognize him after all this until they sat down to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marvelous.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's go on to that, the next part of this encounter with the two disciples, verse 28, and we'll read down through 35. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would go on farther. Not going to stop. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So Jesus, after he had opened their eyes to the scriptures, to the prophets, he's still with them. And they got close to Emmaus, where they were living, where their house was. And Jesus indicated that he was going to go on. I don't know where he was going. We're not told. But he was going to keep going. But they persuaded him to come in and spend some time with them. It's getting late. The day's almost gone. And the evening is coming pretty quickly. So come in and stay with us rather than go on traveling at night. And so he agreed to do this. And as they sat down for the meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, gave it to them. And at that point, their eyes were opened to know him. I don't know just exactly how that happened, but we're told that it did happen as they sat down for the meal, that they then recognized him. And then he left them. He vanished from their sight. And again, I don't know if he just walked out the door and they didn't see him, or if this was a miraculous vanishing. May have been. After he was revealed to them, they remembered Jesus' ability to explain the scriptures while they were on the road. They couldn't wait. They got up that very hour, late in the day, night approaching, returning to Jerusalem, found the apostles, other disciples gathered together and told them that the Lord for sure is risen. We have seen him. We've talked with him. We've shared a meal with him. And he was with us as we traveled on the road to Emmaus. He was revealed to us. Verse 34 seems to be happening at the same time as verse 36, which we'll get to shortly. But verse 34, where it says that the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And that seems to be happening at the same time that verse 36, when they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So, what are your comments on these verses down through verse 35?
They weren't with Jesus at the Last Supper, but I think it's important that the bread was mentioned here. I mean, it was a staple of every meal, I suppose. But just that he took it, gave it to them like he did with the apostles. They wouldn't have known that because they weren't there, but it just kind of reemphasizes the importance of the whole thing, I think. Just another tidbit that we can add.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, once again, okay, go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say that they were practicing the hospitality that was taught in the Law of Moses, so they were following that. And one of the things that we see here is as he recounted and taught them about what they already knew and how that led to where they were today, I think it emphasizes the importance of teaching here. The teaching had its effect and had its witness. And they were, once they learned, they were eager to go tell others.
Right. And they were disciples. They were following Jesus. And so, very good. Thank you. Once again, we appreciate your comments very much. We'll begin with verse 36 the next time we're together, and Lord willing. So appreciate your comments. Thank you. It's break time.